Colossians chapter 1, 24 through 29. Let's hear God's word. Paul writes and says, "Now I rejoice in what has suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with the wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all of its energy, which is so powerfully working in me." May the Lord our God bless to our hearts this reading from his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now and ask that you would feed us with the bread of heaven, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I remember when I was in elementary school, I can see it just as plain as if it was sitting right here. I remember this chart that our teacher was using to teach us good nutrition. There was an apple, there was an orange, there was a carrot. And you know, they all had little arms and legs like they were kind of real people. They were vegetable people. Veggie, if you remember that story as a child. Veggie kids. And then, on the other side of the chart, was the hot dog and the cheeseburger. That was my side of the chart. That's what I liked. Cookies, you know. And our teacher would say, "Now, when you eat these things, you can't see it working in your system. But in reality, it's working there, and it is helping to change your insides so that you will become good, like the carrot or the orange or the apple, or bad, like the cheeseburger." I was bad all the time, I guess. Well, there's a truth to that. We understand that if we eat good, nutritious food, we seem to be more healthy. And if you eat the stuff that I like to eat, well, we know what happens there too. It's a mystery how eating good things help you become healthy. Well, the Bible teaches us about eating other things. And it teaches us about eating off of Christ. Now, we do not think that the bread and the drink actually become the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ. But what we do believe is that it is a mystery. That somehow, some way, through the Holy Spirit, when we take communion, the life of Christ is in reality being worked in you. The bread and the drink, their properties don't change. They're still bread and drink. But in the hands of the Holy Spirit and taken by faith, Jesus Christ, the work of Christ Himself, is applied to us and worked in our life. This spiritual union with Jesus Christ is what the Bible is all about. Listen to what Paul writes to the Galatians. You see, when you look for it in all of Paul's letters, it's there. But we kind of jump over it because we want to learn the moral lesson, how to be good people. Well, Paul tells us when you look at it from one perspective, you become good people when theologically you are receiving the sacraments in faith. Paul writes this from Galatians. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans 8. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. 1 John. When He appears, we shall be like Him. It's as if Jesus Christ is a gardener, and you are the plants. And so He is nurturing the plants by the plants feeding off of Him. And so then you, the plants in the garden, as you feed off of Christ, you begin to produce the good works of Jesus Christ. You do. Christ works in you, and you begin to be like the human nature of Jesus Christ. What is unique to Christ then starts being unique to you. The fruit of the kingdom of God begins to run through your spiritual veins. And the fruit of the kingdom of God comes forth. You begin to love people more. You begin to be patient with people more. You begin to hate your sins even more. That's a biggie. That's a biggie. To even the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the man who was probably the smartest person in the world outside of the human nature of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, I don't understand what I do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. The things I want to do, man, I don't do it. You see the frustration in his life? Because he is in union with Christ, he wants to produce in him through the Holy Spirit the life of Christ. To love, to forgive, to be patient, just like the human nature of Christ. That happens in your life when you read the scriptures, when you pray, when you hear the preacher preach, when you come to the table. All these are means of grace where Christ is worked in you. See, the Holy Spirit, it bridges the gap between heaven and earth, between our fallen nature and the holy nature of Christ. The Holy Spirit unites things that are separated by time and space and dimension. But the Holy Spirit separates it and unites it. Paul writes to us, he says, the hope of glory, the hope of glory for you is that you will become like the human nature of Christ. It's the hope of glory. And our salvation is dependent upon it. Listen to what Paul writes to the Philippians. Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our, but I'm going to make it personal by saying your, will transform your lowly body so that your body will be like his glorious body. Thus, you see, it is human union with Christ, our feeding off of him, whereby we grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. This has always been the plan of God. It's not just a New Testament concept, but from Genesis to Revelation, this has always been God's plan to conform you and change you into the image of Jesus Christ, so that you may dwell with God. This has been God's plan all along, that he would live with you and you with him. What was the garden all about? The garden was a place for Adam and Eve to live so that they could enjoy the presence of God. Shorter catechism. Let's see if you can say it. What is the chief end of man? That you may what? Glorify God and what? And enjoy him. From the very beginning, this has been God's plan. That you would glorify God and that you would enjoy him. A lot of times when I talk to people, that's a very new concept to them. Enjoy God. Are we supposed to enjoy God? I always feel like guilt. No, the guilt was laid upon Christ. Why was it laid upon Christ? So that you could enjoy God forever. And the ultimate reality, you see, is seen in Jesus Christ, where God himself takes on flesh and blood in order to dwell with humanity. John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And John writes, at the very end of time and space as we know it, at the very end of the world and the creation as we know it, the Apostle John was given a revelation. And this is what he says he saw. "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." So you see, the very culmination, the very reason for the creation is so that you can enjoy God. You think about that. The very reason that there is one molecule in all of creation, if that's all there was, just one tiny molecule, God created that molecule so that you would enjoy God. Man, oh man. Now we know that God created more than one molecule. He created a lot of things. As a matter of fact, he created what? All things. And he did it so that he can enjoy you and you enjoy him. Next time you have an argument with your spouse, next time you're having a hard time with your children, be reminded that person is in your life to help you enjoy God. God has chosen his elect. God has chosen to make known unto the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our salvation is dependent upon it. If you are not united to Christ, where are you going to get the righteousness from that God requires of you? If you're not united to Christ, where are you going to get the penalty for sin that God requires of you? You ain't got it. And you ain't going to get it except in Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness that God has sent. He is the sacrificial lamb that he has sent. Well, this union that I have talked about is presented here at this table. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Take and eat. This is my body for you. Take and drink. Because the cup is given as the new covenant in his blood. And it is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It's a mystery. It's a mystery what happens in this table. But just because it is a mystery doesn't mean there is not a reality to it. And the reality is that Christ is present in the bread and in the drink in order to conform you to Christ, in order that ultimately you may enjoy God and God enjoy you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ, for he has supplied all that we need, and it is through him that we have union with God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come to this table, that we would be reminded of your great love to us in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.